Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
This passage here that I'm going to read to you is just a couple of verses. It's really short. It's a message I'm entitling this morning, The Children. And it's a short, very short passage, but it's a very, very, very significant, important passage. Because one of the things Jesus is teaching his disciples and he's teaching us today is how to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's pretty important. And I think we need to give our attention to that because I want to be, more than anything, a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And so these verses here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning at verse 13, are short, but they're so important. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. They were shooing them away. Shoo, shoo, get out of here. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. Oh, he was mad. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. And so, little ones here today, before we dismiss you for Children's Church, I want you to come up here, and I want to pray for you, because I want every kid in our church, and really every kid in our community, to know that Jesus loves them. Jesus has blessing for them. Jesus has salvation for them. Jesus has a hope for them. So, kids, come on up. I want to pray with you real quick, and then we're going to dismiss you for Children's Church. Just real quick, I want to pray for you and bless you, because we love you. We love you so much. Okay, I'm going to pray for you guys. Heavenly Father, we bless these children. Oh, we love them. They are absolutely wonderful. We cherish them. We value them. And in the name of Jesus, we bless them because they are your beloved children. And I look at their faces and I see the joy and the innocence and the life and the vitality. And I pray, God, that early in life you will direct their footsteps and guide their path. And they would walk with you every day of their life, never steering to the right or to the left, but walking straight with you. That you would always just remind them and they would be open and receptive to your love and grace and provision for their lives. We bless these children, Father. And Lord, as we just read in this passage, we can learn from them. We must learn from them. We must become like them so that we can become citizens of the kingdom of God. So we bless these children. I want them to know every time they come to church, they're loved, they are valued, and they are cherished. We thank you and we bless these little ones in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Okay, you guys are dismissed for Children's Church. Aren't they incredible? Yes, they are. We love these little kids. And by the way, right after church this morning, I'm going to have a board meeting with our board. And I want to share with our board something that God has placed on my heart several months ago. And I've been thinking about it and praying about it. And you're welcome to sit in on the board meeting and listen in to what I want the board to pray about and think about. But it is an idea that God put in my heart a while ago that I've not heard of any church ever doing as a way of blessing our children. And so I'm just going to share my heart, and you're welcome to sit in on that and share your input if you'd like. But I'm just trying to think of ways that we as a church can bless our children in the name of Jesus. I want us, as we begin this morning, to revisit a very old story in the Old Testament. It's a story that if you grew up in church, if you went to Sunday school, you're very familiar with. But it's the story of David and Goliath. So turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now this is a fairly familiar story, I think, to most of us. But I want us to revisit this story. There are some things in here that I think will help us understand what Jesus was teaching in the New Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I want to begin at verse 20. And listen to the language of the Old Testament describing this incredible scene that played out between really what was a giant of a man, Goliath, bulky, fearsome, tenacious man that just scared everybody, and then the story of a young lad named David. 1 Samuel 17, beginning at verse 20. Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up, and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance. And David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran away from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who can kill him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel." David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down here only to watch the battle." "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" Then he turned away to someone else who brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy. He has been a fighting man since his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it and struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defiled the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic, put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. What an incredible story. And did you hear in the story the incredible faith and courage that this boy had in the face of impending doom? There was no hesitation on his part. He had faith, and he believed that God would help him win this battle. Oh, the lessons we can learn from a young boy who was anywhere between the ages of probably 13 and 15, and the faith he demonstrated in the face of insurmountable odds. Oh, that we might exhibit that same kind of tenacity and faith and belief in God. Don't ever underestimate the value of a youthful, vibrant faith in God that can deliver us from any obstacle we face. Now, that being said, there are some benefits to getting older, and I'll tell you what those are after I feel better from all my aches and pains. But there are benefits to getting older. I mean, we do get wiser as we get older. We tend to make better decisions, hopefully. You know, we learn from our experiences. Renee just had a birthday a couple days ago. She turned 50. So we welcomed Renee into the half-century club. So she's 50, I'm 52. I have a birthday coming up in a few weeks. I tell you, you know, none of us in this room are getting any younger, right? We are all getting older. And, you know, like I said, there are some benefits to getting older, and I'm trying to embrace them as much as I can, even though sometimes those aches and pains creep up on us unexpectedly. I was one of the 120 million people who watched the fight Friday night. Anyone else here watch the fight Friday night? You did back there. I don't have Netflix, so I have a good friend who let me borrow their account, and I was able to log on and watch the fight. Now, this was a big expected fight because, you know, Mike Tyson in his prime, I mean, nobody could stop the guy. He was ferocious. You would not want to be on the receiving end of one of his right or left hooks, you know? And so there was a lot of hype. You know, after 20 years, we finally get to see the great Mike Tyson in the ring again. Well, lo and behold, we tuned in, and I got news for you. He's not the same Mike Tyson, you know? He's a 58-year-old man, and his performance in the ring showed it. He fought a much younger man, 27-year-old, arrogant Jake Paul, and we all wanted Mike Tyson to knock him out. I mean, that's what we were hoping for. But at 58 years of age, I don't care if you used to be a world-class athlete. He ran out of gas pretty quickly, and really, he probably only had half a tank of gas to begin with. But to his credit, he fought till about 11:30 their time in Dallas, which would have been 9:30 our time here in Oregon. So I give him credit for, you know, being up till 11:30 at night fighting, while I was struggling to stay awake at 9:30 at night. So it's pretty incredible what happened. That being said, there are still benefits to being youthful, right? I mean, we embrace getting older. We embrace the graces that come with age and the wisdom that comes with age and experience. But there are benefits to being youthful. And the story of David and Goliath shows us that if we can have the youthful faith and tenacity of a young David, we can do amazing things for the kingdom of God in the face of insurmountable obstacles. There was a commercial just last night that caught my attention. It was the commercial for all the beautiful lights there in Coos Bay and Shore Acres. I don't know if you've seen the holiday lights there. It's been years since Renee and I have been there. If you get a chance, go visit the holiday lights. Beautiful light display. But in the commercial, they said this, and it caught my attention. It said, "Be a kid again and enjoy the wonder and the splendor of hundreds of thousands of holiday lights." It's one of the largest light displays in the Pacific Northwest. And that phrase caught me, be a kid again, and just enjoy the wonder of sparkling lights and the holiday season. And it captured my attention because there's so much truth to that. Be a kid again. Recapture the youthful enthusiasm that children bring and what children offer. And I think that's what Jesus is getting at here in this passage in Mark. As he brought all these kids to him, and the other adults wanted to shoo them away, and Jesus said, no. Guys, we have so much to learn from these little ones. Now, Jesus, when he spoke these words, himself was a fairly young man. He was in his early 30s. He wasn't an old man. But even Jesus, in his early 30s, pointed to these young children and said to those who were there and says to us today, if we want to enter the kingdom of heaven, we must do so with the childlike wonder that these children bring. And so I made a list of just some of the qualities that I think Jesus was probably referring to. You could probably add on to this list as you think about this passage the rest of today and all during the week. But some of the qualities that I think Jesus was getting at when he was talking about how we can learn from the children, how we can embrace the qualities that children bring that we must exhibit as citizens of the kingdom of God. And I think one of the first things, as we read in the story of David, is faith. We must have faith that God is with us, that God will not forsake us, that God has promised good to us. He's promised us victory. And children bring that. They bring the vibrant faith. And yet somewhere along the line, as we get older, sometimes we tend to lose that, don't we? And so if we can regain the vibrant, youthful faith that a child would have, the kind of faith that David had that says, I can take out this Goliath, not because I'm great, but because God is great. And so we need a childlike faith that trusts that God is with us. I think some other childlike qualities that we must exhibit is the ability to work together. A good teacher in a classroom can help children work together. And when children work together and they get into that zone of helping each other and, hey, would you pass the glue? And, hey, would you pass the scissors? A good teacher will facilitate an environment where kids will learn the value of working together. And I think that's one of the things Jesus was trying to teach his disciples. Guys, gals, let's work together. Because great things can happen in the kingdom of God when we work together. Now, the opposite side of that is you'll always have that one kid who's going to want to go off and do his own thing, right? Or that one gal who's going to go off and do her own thing. And the challenge then is to help bring them into the fold and teach them their value and say, you have something significant to offer. I think another quality that children bring that we need to have is this desire to learn and grow. Children have an innate wonder of the world around them. I've watched our kids here in church, and they're learning, they're growing, they're investigating. And there is a tendency for us as we get older to maybe lose some of that desire to want to continue to grow and flourish. Jesus always has something to teach us, no matter if you're young or old. And we must maintain that posture of always learning, discovering, growing, because God has something for us to discover. The other quality that children exhibit that I think is very important is, especially when they're really little, is that they have a tendency to stay close to their parents. I mean, stranger danger is a real thing. And a child is obviously very comfortable with their own parents, as they should be. And we should maintain a posture of staying close to the Father. No one loves us like the Father. No one cares for us like our Heavenly Father. And just as a little child will want to be close in proximity to mom and dad, because that's where they feel safe, loved, cared for, taken care of, we too should always maintain a posture of staying close to the Father and being near to His heart. Because the flip side of that is we are prone to wander. Even the most faithful child at some point will wander away from mom and dad. I remember when I was a little kid, I got lost in the store. Mom said, stay close to me, and I didn't, and I wandered off, and I got lost, and I was frantic, and mom was frantic, and they made that announcement over the speaker. We have a lost little boy in aisle three, you know. And so we must stay close to the Father, because that's where we find safety and direction and comfort. Children by nature are innocent. They have an innocence about them. And we too must come to the Father and the kingdom of God with an innocence. Because the flip side of that is, and you know this very well, people can be schemers. And we can't scheme our way into the kingdom of God. We can't work our way into the kingdom of God. We must be innocent. Clean hearts before God. Clean motives. And innocent as children. Children have a desire to want to obey mom and dad. There are times as a parent when you'll say, pick up your room, and they'll go do it. Or clean up your mess, they'll go do it. The flip side of that, as we all know, is children have a tendency to want to be disobedient. And so we must maintain a posture of being obedient to the Father. For that is how we enter the kingdom of God. Little kids have no preconceived notions of prejudice. They simply want to be kids. We, as we get older, tend to learn stereotyping and prejudice and judgmentalism. But I think to maintain a posture of childlike faith, we must maintain no prejudice towards anyone. We love all. We accept all. We appreciate all. We want to be open to what the Father has to teach us. The flip side of that is to be closed-minded, to be hardened of heart. And so as a little child, we must stay open before the Father. We must listen to the Father. We must be able to hear His voice. Just as a child knows mom and dad's voice from a distance, we too must hear and listen to the voice of the Father. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." And as I said earlier, in a world of competing voices, oh, there's so many of them, we must be attentive to the voice of our Father. Children have a tendency to be giving. I've seen on numerous occasions where if a child is lacking, another child will offer up something to give to that other child. And so we must maintain a posture of giving. Now, the flip side of that is, as we all know, children can be selfish, and they will take for me, me, me. And so we must avoid that as well. We must be giving. Children have a sense of adventure. They want to explore. The flip side of that is a tendency to be secluded. And so we must avoid that as well. We are part of a community. God is sending us on a journey together. There are no lone Christians. We are in this journey together. And so we are on this adventure of faith together. We can't do this in seclusion. And finally, I think there's just a, as I've touched on before, there's a sense of wonder and awe that children have. Children want to explore and have this sense of creativity and imagination. And I think sometimes the older we get, we limit ourselves. Just like all these other men in the story of David who were afraid of Goliath, they limited themselves. They saw the obstacle. They saw the barriers. David saw none of those things. And so we must maintain a posture of awe and wonder. God, what do you want from me? What do you want to do through me? What do you want to do because of me? Rather than look at our obstacles and say, God, I can't do this. I can't do that. I won't do this. We must always be open to what the Father has for us. Whether we are young or whether we are getting older, we must approach the Father and the kingdom of God with these childlike qualities that just draw us deeper and deeper into the Father's presence. Because remember, He is our Heavenly Father. We pray, our Father who art in heaven. Well, who prays to a father unless you're a child? And so we come to our Father as His beloved child. Oh, what David did with those stones. Faith that enabled him to pick up that stone and do something mighty with it. What is keeping you from picking up that stone and doing what God wants you to do? Psalm 37:25. Because this speaks of the faithfulness of God all throughout our life, from beginning to end. The psalmist is now an old man, and I'm sure he reflected many, many times back on that day when he took down Goliath. There's no doubt that David in his mind replayed that over and over and over again. God, you used me in a mighty way, and he did. But now he's an old man, and he's reflecting on his life. And he writes this in Psalm 37, verse 25. I was young once, and now I'm old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.